Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to our House of Representatives call for the Republic for the United States of America. Today is Tuesday, March 20th, 2018. I can't believe March is almost gone. This year is almost a quarter of the way done. Hard to believe. But anyway, thanks for joining us tonight. We're going to do things just a little bit different this evening. We're going to go ahead and have open prayer and do roll. And we'll join up with the Senate, and President Geiger has given us a small task to work on to kind of do a Bill of Rights for the Internet. And I had Liz sent out that document that he just roughly drew up, and we'll kind of talk about that. And when we get into the call, I'll give you more details on kind of what we're going to do with that. And then after that, we'll... Who turned that off? Wow, that was interesting. And then after that, we'll have David Hurtler do his teaching on the final address from President Washington. So before we get started, does somebody want to open us up in prayer tonight?
This is Representative Mark Beiner. I'd be happy to do that.
All right, you have the floor.
All right, thank you. Almighty Father, we come before you thankful for the many blessings that you have sent our way on this first day of the spring equinox. We look forward to celebrate the Passover that will be held in 2 weeks' time on April 2nd at sundown. Be with us tonight as we continue to study to show ourselves approved unto you, Father, so we may be useful to you and your plan. Your wisdom speaks to us in chapter 5, verses 4 through 6. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world, but he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. So, Father, we are grateful for the Word made flesh that walked among us, instructed us, and conquered death so that we may have the gift of salvation by believing in Jesus Christ to save us. May we always have valor in battle and work toward your will, Father, as we represent the American people in Republic, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Representative Binder, for opening us up in prayer tonight. And with that, I'll yield to Liz to do our roll this evening.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good evening, everyone. We'll start with Representative Mike Ackerman.
Representative Ackerman is present.
Thank you. Representative Andrew Phil. Representative Mark Binder.
Representative Mark Beiner smiles present. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Charlie Alfaro. Representative Joseph Goodman. Representative Doug Reed.
Representative Doug Reed is present.
Thank you. Representative Robin Cox.
Representative Robin Cox is present.
Representative John Rockwell.
Present.
And
Representative David Schmidt from Wisconsin is present.
Thank you. Mr. Speaker, I show 6 representatives representing 6 states. Thank you, and I yield.
All right. Thank you very much. The Senate is ready to join us this evening, so I'll go ahead and bring them into the floor. How is the Senate tonight?
Good, Mr. Speaker. Good. Looking forward to another night of training with David and discussion on the Internet Bill of Rights. I'll yield back to you. Thank you.
Well, welcome, okay, everyone. Thank you. Yes. Like to welcome the Senate with us tonight, as well as the House, which I've already welcomed them, and also the people in the gallery. And what Senator Adams is talking about, President Geiger sent myself and Don and also David Hurtler a little thing that he's been on his mind about, the Internet Bill of Rights, and I sent that out with the package that went out with the agenda for tonight as far as the House, and there's like 4 or 5 points that he has on that, and he requested that the House and the Senate kind of work on that, expand it, and come up with something. It's not a formal task or anything like that, but just to kind of get your wheels to turn and do some research. And then once we get it somewhat, of a document that makes sense more than what it did, you know, in the very beginning here, then we'll send that back to him, and he'll do with it what he thinks that needs to be done. And he was talking about, you know, putting it on, you know, the web for discussion for the general public as well. I don't know, probably, 6 or 8 months ago, I heard, you know, about the Internet. Oh, I can't remember what they called it right offhand. But there was a thing that Obama put into place that restricted the Internet, and President Trump relaxed that, and people were kind of all up in arms about it. Of course, it's because it's from President Trump. But I think my input on this, to kind of get everybody started, and then we're going to open up the floor for discussion, and then I'll tell you kind of how, you know, I want you to do it, how I want you to send it, and then we'll compile it in 3 or 4 weeks, however long it takes. And then we'll come back and we'll talk about this again once we get more points and things like that. The first point that I think that we need to do with, which is outside of our purview, it's more for Trump, would be to get the Internet out of the hands of the UN, which is where it sits now. Because, again, President Obama put that into their hands, I think it was the last year that he was in office, and it needs to be back in our hands so we can, you know, have control of it in this country. So that would be the first thing that I would add to it. And I'm going to open up the floor now for discussion on that from both the House and the Senate, and then when we get that particular piece done, probably the next 5 minutes or so, then I'll tell you kind of what I want you to do, because I want you to write it down, and then I'll tell you how to send it, etc. But right now, I just want to open up the floor for discussion on this document about the Internet Bill of Rights. I yield.
This is Representative David Schmidt.
Yes, go ahead, Representative Schmidt.
Okay, thank you. Well, one thing there... social media sites, you know, like YouTube, Facebook, shouldn't that have the right to delete postings because they don't fit their agenda with that yield?
Thank you. Anybody else have any comments?
This is Representative Mark Biden. May I have the floor?
Yes, you have the floor.
Thank you. I know what slander is, and I know what libel is, but I don't know what internet untruths and tampering with somebody's material is. Do you have any idea what that might be?
That's what we're going to define, hopefully, in this document. This is just a jumping off point. I have no answers, only questions and statements myself. And not looking for anything specific, but see, that can be part of what, the rights would be. And again, the first right that he states there, President Geiger, is users of the Internet have the following inherent God-given right, which the rights come from God, which we've been talking about for many, many years now. And that's the basis for what we're going to bring together here. I know that doesn't answer your question because I don't have an answer for you. But Anyway, I'll leave it at that. Anybody else have any comments?
All right, that kind of like it's a ball rolling anyway. If I can make one more comment before I yield.
Sure.
I think the First Amendment plays into this pretty well too, and I know it has to be clarified more, but that's the direction we should go too. And I yield. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anybody else have any comments?
Representative Ackerman of Colorado, may I have the floor?
Yes, you have the floor.
We're wondering about getting into problems with the issue of our freedom in contrast with the corporation's activities. Are we going to end up coming to blows over that point for the use of the computers for communications?
Well, my thought on that is we're not going to touch on what they do because, again, we're running parallel. Until we're stood up, we don't really have any authority to do anything. This is just kind of like a practice run for us to kind of get our minds to think about what we would do if we were faced this. And that's kind of where I'm thinking that the president wants to go with it. It's not going to really go any place other than in-house with the Republic, because that's all we can do with it right now. So that kind of help you with the question?
I guess that would help. Thank you.
Yes. Anybody from the Senate have any comments?
This is Representative Robin Cox. May I please have the floor?
Yes, you have the floor.
I feel like that Facebook and other social media should have no right to delete somebody from posting on their social media sites just because somebody files a vague complaint about them, unless the complaint is based on slander and written abuse. I yield.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else?
This is Representative David Schmidt from Wisconsin requesting the floor, please.
Yes, you have the floor.
Yeah, I think I'm just going to add a little side comment here, is that also the Internet is also international in scope, not just the United States, but also international in scope. And I just want to throw that out there. So we're, people, that have websites based outside the United States, we have no jurisdiction over. I think we should understand that and what that'll yield before.
All right, thank you. Anybody else?
Senator Adams, if I may.
Yes, you have the floor.
Yes, I just put in Obama Internet restrictions in the search engine, and it comes up with a lot of history as to how he's trying to turn the Internet over to the UN and China, how they're trying to take control of the Internet. I would suggest it's good research for everybody. And I'm trying to find the name of that initial bill. It was a misnomer. It sounded like something that was good for the Internet, but actually gave proprietary preferential treatment to the big Internet companies like Time Warner. And so we have to, when we're going through some of this stuff, just be aware that there's a lot of disinformation out there, what's good and what's not good in some of this proposed right in the Internet. But I certainly understand what you're saying, Mr. Speaker. We're just trying to create some guidelines. There's nothing we can really do in law at this point. And then President Geiger was not asking for any kind of legislation, just some guidelines so that we're ready to go and we all have a better understanding of what we need to be informed on. I guess that's about it. Otherwise, I'm rambling, so I'll yield back to you, Mr. Speaker.
All right. Thank you, Senator Adams. What I was thinking of, and I think you as well, thinking of net neutrality, if everybody remembers
yes.
that some years back. That was the term I was trying to come up with. Well, anyway, you kind of get an idea what we're thinking of here. And again, it'll ultimately go back to President Geiger. And what I want you to do some research, you know, over the next several weeks. And with some ideas that you come up with, go ahead and email those to the House admin email. And we'll get those compiled, and then once we let a couple, 3 weeks go by, then we'll hit this again, and we'll kind of read it and compile it to what we get from the Senate as well. And right now, Senator Adams, do you want the senators to send it to the Senate admin email, or do you have another email that you want them to send it to?
Send it to my personal email. Just respond to my Tuesday night notifications that will come to my personal email, then I will forward them to you, Mr. Speaker. And net neutrality was the word I was looking for. It was absolute misnomer. All it did was gave preferential treatment to the large internet providers. Thank you for breaking that loose from my brain fog there.
Well, it had to break loose for mine too, so we were together in that. So anybody have any questions about how we want to gather the information that you compile from your research before we go ahead and move on to David?
This is Representative Mark Miner. May I have the floor?
Yes, you have the floor.
Thanks. I just wanted to ask a question. Is this going to be like in the form of a bill so that when we are stood up that we can pass it in Congress when we have a quorum? And are you?
My thought is that it will not be, but we'll have all this information compiled where it may be relatively simple to do that. But right now, that's not the goal of what we're working on. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else have any questions or comments? All right. If not, then everybody has their research assignment and writing assignment, and you know how to get me the information. As well as Senator Adams' information. With that, I'll go ahead and close this particular piece out of our call tonight and go ahead and yield to David Hertler so he can get started on our teaching this evening.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good evening, Senate Admin Adams from the great state of Wisconsin, all you fine senators and all you fine representatives that have shown up again tonight. My hats go off to you. I salute all of you guys in Congress that have shown up. And all you out there in the gallery, whether you hear it by recording or live, I would like to just say that what you fellows were talking about, ladies and gentlemen, what you were talking about, you know, it really comes down to deception versus truth. The people that want to take away the rights of free press, free speech, in this instance, they don't want the people to know the truth. They want the people to be controlled by their lies. And when's the last time that we've had a free press? You know, when you go back to finally establishing the Federal Reserve and the central banks, they had to control the press. And, you know, when you look at the media today, if you dare turn it on and you see all the negative things, all the things that are said against a man that's taken on and has been taken on the establishment, if you will, how they cut him down and they negate most of the things, if not everything that he does, to make him look bad. So, you know, is this injurious? Is this causing injury to the people by them wanting to take away the truth? We as Americans, well, we're U.S. citizens, but we're soon to be Americans, we We deserve to know the truth. We're tired of deception. So think of that, that this is a war between deception and lies and the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And we're going to have a free press. We're going to have free speech. So with that, I'm going to go into, and does anybody want to comment what I just said? Floor is open.
Well said.
Okay, thank you. We're going to go in now to President George Washington's farewell address. And the way I have my paper marked up here, we're going to start with, it would be Roman numeral 9, and I believe we're at G. I think I'm right on that. And I'm going to go through the outline here. I don't know how far I'm going to get. It's already 22 after. Okay, so if I go to G, in the outline it says, our detached and distant situation enables a different course. H is steer clear of permanent alliances with any portion of the foreign world. I is however we may have temporary alliances for extraordinary emergencies. J is maintain a liberal intercourse with all nations. Let's take it from there, and I'll go into the body of the farewell address. Starting with G, and I'm reading, our detached and distant situation invites and enables us to pursue a different course. If we remain one people under an efficient government, the period is not far off when we may defy material injury from external annoyance, when we may take such an attitude as will cause the neutrality we may at any time resolve upon to be scrupulously or conscientiously respected, when belligerent or hostile nations under the impossibility of making acquisitions upon us will not lightly hazard the giving us provocation or a reason to take action, when we may choose peace of war as our interest, guided by justice, shall counsel. I'm going to read it again, and I'm going to ask for your insight on this. Our detachment in a distant situation invites and enables us to pursue a different course. If we remain one people under an efficient government, the period is not far off when we may defy material injury from external annoyance, when we may take such an attitude as will cause the neutrality we may at any time resolve upon to be conscientiously respected, when hostile nations under the impossibility of making acquisitions upon us will not lightly hazard the giving us provocation, a reason to take action, when we may choose peace or war as our interests, guided by justice, shall counsel. What say you, Congress? I yield. Floor is open.
This is Representative David Schmidt from Wisconsin requesting the floor, please.
Yes, you have the floor.
Well, it sounds like he's saying here that we need to be treating other nations with respect. If we want other nations to treat us with respect, would that a yield?
Okay. Treat others as you'd want to be treated, something like that, Representative Schmidt?
Yep, the golden rule.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Representative Schmidt from the great state of Wisconsin. Who else? Who else wants to comment on this?
This is Representative Mark Binder. May I have the floor?
From the great state of Iowa. Go ahead.
Thank you. I think also what he's telling you is you should remain neutral, because when you're neutral, if there's a country going against another country, you're not automatically assumed to go to aggression with the country that you, you're siding with. Mm-hmm. If you're neutral, then you can look at both sides and you can decide whether it's worth it to get involved in war, and being neutral just gives you that extra time or extra decision. You're more free that way, and I yield. Thank you.
So just because you uphold a certain country as your alliance, you're going to listen to all the facts before you come to a determination. That's what you're saying, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Is anyone else?
This is Representative David Schmidt from Wisconsin. Question four, please.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
I'd like to piggyback on what Representative Binder just said. Now, the thing about that there was in 1914, the heir to the throne of the Austrian-Hungarian Empire was assassinated. And, the only thing is because of all the alliances that were in place at the time, practically every single European country wound up getting into World War I just because of all the different alliances. Like, Russia was aligned with Serbia, and who is the enemy of, the opponent of Austria, and Germany was in alliance with Austria, Austria-Hungary, and of course Britain and France, they were aligned in an alliance against Germany, and thanks to Teddy Roosevelt, the United States ended up in an alliance with Britain and France, And the whole thing just goes on and on and on and on and on. And what that had yielded before.
I would assume, Representative Schmidt, that you have done your homework having to do with the First World War. Is that correct?
Look at this. I learned a lot of it back in high school history class. Of course, back then they actually taught some history back then.
Yes.
So just from there, and it just kind of goes from there. And with that, yield.
Well, thank you for sharing. Appreciate it so much. Anyone else have a comment? Let me finish up this short paragraph here before we go into H. So why forego the advantages of so peculiar a situation? Why quit our own to stand upon foreign ground? Why, by interweaving our destiny with that of any part of Europe, entangle our peace and prosperity in the toils of European ambition? Rivalship, interest, human, or caprice? There, he's got some questions there. How about a comment on that? Floor's open. We probably have already covered it. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is Representative David Schmidt from Wisconsin. Requesting the floor.
Yeah, you have the floor.
I think I covered that with what I was mentioning about the alliances of World War I, with that, I yield.
Okay. Anyone in the Senate? The floor is open. Feel free. Okay, we're going to go to H. Steer clear of permanent alliances with any portion of the foreign world. That's the outline. I'm going to take it now from the body. It is our true policy to steer clear of permanent alliances or partnerships with any portion of the foreign world. So far, I mean, as we are now at liberty to do it, for let me not be understood as capable of patronizing infidelity. Infidelity is lack of loyalty or disloyalty to existing engagements. I hold the maxim or principle less applicable to public than to private affairs, that honesty is always the best policy. I repeat it there, therefore, let those engagements be observed in their genuine sense. But in my opinion, it is unnecessary and would be unwise to extend them. I'm going to read it again. Now, what we're talking about here is what he said. We're looking at the outline to steer clear of permanent alliances with any portion of the foreign world. So that, I think, is your bottom line, to steer clear of permanent alliances. Okay, it is our true policy to steer clear of permanent alliances or partnerships with any portion of the foreign world, so far, I mean, as we are now at liberty to do it. For let me not be understood as capable of patronizing infidelity to existing engagements. I hold the maxims or the principle no less applicable to public than to private affairs, that honesty is always the best policy. I repeat it, therefore, let those engagements be observed in their genuine sense. Let me say that again. I repeat it, therefore, let those engagements be observed in their genuine sense. But in my opinion, it is unnecessary and would be unwise to extend them. Okay, how about a comment on that? Floor is open.
This is Representative Mark Feiner. May I have the floor?
Yes, you, from Great State, Iowa. Go ahead. You have the floor.
Thank you. I just want to say a permanent alliance with another country, unless it should be avoided at all costs, because for sure things change. Countries change. Religion changes. All kinds of other things. And if you're an alliance with that country and it has changed and you're going against our nation like a Christian nation, it's going against Christian principles, and we become a partaker of that, and we're not going to get as many blessings from God and may even get punished and without a yield. Thank you.
Thank you. You know, you don't know who's going to be the president of the country in 5 years, 10 years, and you don't know, you know, how he's going to run his country, and it could be totally different when you moved into an alliance with that country, and yeah, you really thought about a permanent alliance, but yeah, sure, it could change. It could change within a week after a new person would get in. So, well said. I like that. Anyone else have a comment on this paragraph?
This is Representative David Schmidt from Wisconsin requesting the floor, please.
Yes, you have the floor, sir.
Yeah, that's basically kind of, you know, what happens. You know, you see some of these, you know, governments overthrown, and then they stick in, like, you know, like the, well, Central America or whatever that there. Some of them would be, as long, you know, some of the dictators, they could do whatever they want as long as they aligned with the United States.
Yeah.
And they could be brutal to their people, you know, as long as they didn't, as long as they were opposed to communism. You know, this is kind of the Cold War garbage that went on. And with that, you yield the floor.
Yeah, very well, very well said. Any other comments? Well, the next paragraph is short. It's I, and I'll go to the outline. However, we may have temporary alliances for extraordinary emergencies. So let's go to this little paragraph here. It says, taking care always to keep ourselves by suitable establishment on a respectable defensive posture, we may safely trust to temporary alliances for extraordinary emergencies. Interesting. Comment on that.
This is Representative Mark Feiner. May I have the floor?
Yes, you have the floor.
Okay, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. I yield, thank you.
Anyone else? Okay, we're going to go into Jay. Jay reads over in the outline. It says, maintain a liberal intercourse with all nations. So, reading from the body, it says, harmony, liberal intercourse, or business with all nations are recommended by policy, humanity, and interest. But even our commercial policy should hold an equal and impartial hand, neither seeking for granting exclusive favors or preferences, consulting the natural course of things, diffusing or spreading and diversifying or varying by gentle means the streams of commerce, but forcing nothing, establishing with powers so disposed in order to give trade a stable course to define the rights of our merchants and to enable the governments to support them, conventional rules of the intercourse or business, the best that present circumstances and mutual opinion will permit, but temporary and liable to be from time to time abandoned or varied as experience and circumstances shall dictate. Constantly keeping in view that it is folly in one nation to look for disinterested favors from another, that it must pay with a portion of its independence for whatever it may accept under that character, that by such acceptance it may place itself in the condition of having given equivalence for normal favors and yet of being reproached with ingratitude or not giving more. I just read a sentence, ladies and gentlemen. Just read a sentence. Okay, going on. There can be no greater error than to expect or calculate upon real favors from nation to nation. It is an illusion which experience must cure, which a just pride ought to discard. Okay. All right. Boy, President, I tell you what, President Washington, he didn't lack words. I'm going to read it again. Remember what we're after here is he's explaining, however, we may have temporary alliances for extraordinary emergencies. Okay. With that, J, maintain a liberal intercourse with all nations. That's where we're at. Maintain a liberal intercourse with all nations. Okay, so a working between the nations. Okay, here we go again. Harmony, liberal business with all nations are recommended by policy, humanity, and interest. But even our commercial policy should hold an equal and impartial hand, neither seeking nor granting exclusive favors or preferences, consulting the natural course of things, spreading and bearing by gentle means the streams of commerce. I think that's key. But forcing nothing, establishing with powers so disposed in order to give trade a stable course. So that's what we're after here. We're after streams of commerce. We're after a stable course to define the rights of our merchants and to enable the government to support them. Conventional rules of business, the best that present circumstances and mutual opinion will permit, but temporary and liable to be from time to time abandoned or varied. As experience and circumstances shall dictate, constantly keep in view that it is folly in one nation to look for disinterested favors from another, that it must pay with a portion of its independence for whatever it may accept under that character, that by such acceptance it may place itself in the condition of having given equivalents for normal favors. That's a lot in there. And yet, of being reproached with ingratitude for not giving more, there can be no greater error than to expect or calculate upon real favors from nation to nation. Let me read that again. There could be no greater error than to expect or calculate upon real favor from nation to nation. It is an illusion which experience must cure, which a just pride ought to discard. So, import, export, doing commerce with other nations, how we handle that, it's all about how we handle the business with other nations. Speak into this, if you would, Congress. I open the floor.
This is Representative David Schmidt from Wisconsin requesting the floor, please.
You have the floor.
That with all every trade agreement that nations sign on to should be for the mutual benefit of every single nation that is involved with that trade agreement.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's first point. Second point, this is a lot of stuff that was from the Law of Nations. Gives a lot of points about international commerce. And was that a yield?
Very good. I was thinking of the Law of Nations as well, too. That's amazing. That must have been, what, 2 years ago? 3 years ago we went into that. Very well presented by the senator of the great state of North Dakota. This all plays in with it when we get into commerce and so forth. Anyone else have a comment?
This is Representative Mark Binder. May I have the floor?
Yes, you have the floor, sir.
Thanks. Well, I remember when the word liberal used to mean generous, as it does here. And if young people were to read this and not look up the word liberal and say like an 1828 dictionary, they would probably take this whole paragraph to mean something completely different. And that's the dialectic, isn't it?
Yeah. Well said.
Thank you.
Very good. Very good. How about the Senate? Anybody? How about a comment on tonight's teaching? Any comment? I think we're going to conclude, no pun intended, but the conclusion we're going to pick up on March 27th. But is there any comment on what we went through tonight?
This is Representative David Schmidt requesting the floor, please.
Yes, sir. You have the floor.
A couple points. I think this is something that every national government officer should be aware of when it comes to ones that are involved in putting together trade agreements and also diplomacy. All diplomats ought to be aware of this as well. That's my first point. The second point is when you were talking about at the very beginning here, you were talking about truth in journalism, and I got a little quotation on that one. This is from John Swinton, the former chief of staff of the New York Times, and he was giving a toast before the New York Press Club in 1953. The business of the journalist is to destroy truth, to lie outright, to pervert, to vilify, to fawn at the feet of mammon, and to sell his country and his race for his daily bread. You know it, and I know it. And what folly is this, toasting an independent press? We are the tools and the vassals for rich men behind the scenes. We are the jumping jacks. They pull the strings, and we dance. Our talents, our possibilities, and our lives are all the property of other men. We are intellectual prostitutes. The very next day, Mr. Swinton was fired from his job, and was that a year before.
Representative Schmidt, tell us again who presented that, and read it again if you would, please. I think it's worthy of being read again. Thank you.
Okay. The individual's name is John Swinton, S-W-I-N-T-O-N. He was a former chief of staff of the New York Times. And he gave a toast before the New York Press Club in 1953. And here goes again. The business of the journalist is to destroy truth, to lie outright, to pervert, to vilify, to fawn at the feet of mammon, and to sell his country and his race for his daily bread. You know it, and I know it. And what folly is this, toasting an independent press?
Mm-hmm.
We are the tools and the vassals for rich men behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
We are the jumping jacks. They pull the strings, and we dance. Our talents, our possibilities, and our lives are all the property of other men. We are intellectual prostitutes.
Mm-hmm.
And that was back in 1953.
Yeah, okay. Can't you just see the anchor newsman for the top four across America, can't you just see that model in there by their fireplace? I mean really, it's all about telling lies. They're told to do it, to vilify. To make a living doing that. I mean, you have to be cut out of a certain mold to make a living to steer the people away from the truth. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Representative Schmidt, for sharing that quote. Appreciate it. Is there any other comments?
This is Representative Mark Biner. May I have the floor?
Yes, go ahead.
I also have a quote to read. This is from Norman Bethune Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
This quote was, he was a Socialist Party candidate for president of the U.S. Norman Bethune Thomas said in his 1944 speech, he said, "The American people will never knowingly adopt socialism, but under the name of liberalism, they will adopt every fragment of the socialist program until one day America will be a socialist nation without knowing how it happened." He went on to say, I no longer need to run as a presidential candidate for the Socialist Party. The Democrat Party has adopted our platform. And I yield.
Thank you for sharing that. Very good. Okay, anyone else? Going once, twice, three times?
Yes, Senator Adams, who was that last quote by again, please?
That was Norman Mattoon Thomas. He's born November 20th, 1884, and he died December 19th, 1968. He was a Socialist Party candidate for president.
Very good, thank you.
That was a 1944 speech. You're welcome.
Okay, with that, Mr. Speaker, I yield the floor back to you.
Boy, I don't know what to say about those last comments. This has been going on for a long time. Wow. Anyway, thank you, David, and thank you, everybody that has made comments tonight. Definitely enlightening, that's for sure. With that, any closing comments from the Senate before we separate into our houses?
No, sir. Only that, David, thank you, and thank you for the last two quotes, everybody that contributed. The Senate is good to go, and we're headed home. Thank you very much. We yield back to you, Mr. Speaker.
All right, thank you then. We will catch you next Tuesday. Okay. Anybody having any closing comments before we adjourn tonight?
This is Representative David Schmidt from Wisconsin requesting the floor, please.
Yes, you have the floor.
Yeah, I just thought of another one on journalism. I don't know if you're familiar with the journalist Ida B. Wells, but she was an activist that did everything she could to expose the Ku Klux Klan and Jim Crow laws and any other bigotry against African Americans, and her dying words were, you know, when she passed away, her last dying words were, "The price of liberty is eternal vigilance." With that, I yield.
All right, thank you. Anybody else? Well, I think tonight we've had, we've heard an earful and had a mouthful as well with the discussion that's gone on, and including our discussion about the Bill of Rights for the Internet as well. So if there are no other closing comments, I definitely entertain a motion for us to adjourn tonight if somebody would like to do that.
This is Representative David Schmidt from Wisconsin making the motion to adjourn until Tuesday, March 27th at 8 p.m. Central Time. With that, I yield.
Thank you.
This is Representative Robin Cox. I second that.
All right. Thank you very much. We have a motion on the floor to adjourn tonight, and it's been seconded. All in favor say aye.
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 And is there anybody opposed? All right, the ayes have it. Does somebody want to close this in prayer tonight before we adjourn?
This is Representative Robin Cox. I'd be happy to do that.
All right, you have the floor.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for what we've learned tonight and help us to take it to heart and to remember these things. And Lord, that you would help us to properly apply the things that we have learned. Lord, we plead the blood of Jesus Christ and your angelic hedge of protection over every representative and their families, and over every senator and their families, and over the leaders of the Republic, over President James Geiger and President Timothy Turner and the Speaker and the Senate admin and all of the leaders in our Republic, Lord. And we ask that you would keep us safe and bring us back safely to the next legislative call next Tuesday. I just pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Good night, everybody.
All right. Yep. Thanks, everybody. We'll catch you next Tuesday.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.